everyone. Welcome to the first of these three Advent podcasts from St Mary's in Hanwell. My name is Alison Ingram and I'm the Ordinand at St Mary's. This short series is intended to accompany the sermons being preached through Advent at St Mary's on Sunday mornings. These podcasts are based on different texts and will sit alongside those shared on Sundays. You can join us for our service online at 9 o'clock or in the church building at 10:30. More information is available on the St Mary's website. The format of the session will be to start with a prayer, followed by a reading, a short reflection, then a time of silence, prayer, and after that there will be a short discussion with a number of friends from St Mary's. In the discussion, we'll talk about what we've heard in the reflection and what we have each taken away from it. So let's start with some prayer to centre ourselves. If you'd like to, feel free to close your eyes. You might want to put both feet on the ground and just open your hands as a sign of being open to engaging with God. So as we pray, please inhale as we pray, Lord, have mercy. And exhale as we pray, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And exhale, Christ, have mercy. Inhale, Lord, have mercy. And exhale, Christ, have mercy. Inhale, Lord, have mercy. And exhale, Christ, have mercy. So now, in this posture of prayer, we'll move on to hear from our scripture reading. This is Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 to until 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Isn't hindsight a wonderful thing? There are so many times in life when I wish I'd known then what I know now. Choosing to get on the train that breaks down in the middle of nowhere. Deciding that I definitely don't need to take an umbrella because it certainly won't rain, only to be soaked within 10 minutes of leaving the house. We, who are living millennia after this passage was written, have the advantage of knowing what the author didn't at the time. And we're prompted to consider the decisions we make in light of this knowledge. These verses in Isaiah reflect a cry to God for rescue, Would you rend the heavens and come dine? A plea for a move of a loving God for rescue from the darkness of the world. When this passage was written, no one knew of the saving grace that was yet to come. Being aware that we all make mistakes in the decisions we make, choices that turn us away from God rather than drawing us closer to Him, the passage asks, how then can we be saved? The writer is asking, crying to God, what can we do? How can we resolve this? Today, we have the answer. That 2,000 years ago, God did come down to earth in the most unexpected way as a newborn baby. This is the most incredible gift that God had in store for us. That He would send His Son to earth and through His sacrifice, He would bear the weight of the mistakes that we make. Through this decision, God showed His love and forgiveness to all of us, for humanity as a whole, and for each one of us individually, that we could be freed from the burden of our sins. At the time of this passage, people didn't know that there would be a way that we could become clean again, to throw off the filthy rags of our mistakes and be clothed in new garments, to be renewed and able to live in the freedom that Jesus has given us. We read, we are the clay, you are the potter. As we turn to God, just as we are, and build a relationship with Him, He will shape and mould us, working through our lives, so that we become fully alive, strong in the identity that God has given us, and confident that He is with us, guiding us in all of our decisions, both the big and the small. Given the knowledge that we have, the biggest decision we need to make is whether we turn and offer ourselves to Him or not. Jesus is there waiting for us with open arms. Thank you, Lord, that You made the decision to come to earth and that we know that. That You made such great sacrifice for us. Help us to make decisions that enable us to follow You more closely, day by day. In light of what we've just heard, we'll read the passage one more time. So please do reflect on those words as we read this again. Oh, that You would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at Your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make Your name known to Your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at Your presence. When You did awesome deeds that we did not expect, You came down, the mountains quaked at Your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides You, who works for those who wait for Him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember You in Your ways. But You were angry and we sinned. Because You hid Yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on Your name or attempts to take hold of You, for You have hidden Your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay and You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all Your people. So we take a moment in the silence to speak to God, open our hearts, and ask Him what He is saying to each of us through this passage. And now we'll move into a time of prayer to close our session together before we move to the discussion. Please do join in with your own prayers. In joyful expectation of his coming to our aid, we pray to Jesus. Come to your church as Lord and Judge. We pray for your church here in London, across the UK, and around the world, especially in those places where there is persecution and oppression. May our brothers and sisters in those places know your strength and peace. We pray particularly for our community at St Mary's in Hanwell. Help us to live in the light of your coming and give us a longing for your kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to your world as King of the nations. We pray for our leaders and all in positions of authority. Grant them your wisdom and grace as they make decisions impacting the lives of people around them. Give them hearts and minds filled with peace and love for others. Before you, rulers will stand in silence. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to the suffering, a saviour and comforter. We pray for those we know who are facing illness, whether physical, mental, or spiritual. We ask for their healing and relief from their suffering. Break into our lives where we struggle with sickness and distress, and set us free to serve you forever. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to us as shepherd and guardian of our souls. We remember our family, friends, and others we've known who have passed away. Grant us comfort in times of grief and hope when we may be tempted to despair. Give us, with all the faithful departed, a share in your victory over evil and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Come from heaven, Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. Lift us up to meet you, that we may live and reign with you in your new creation. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now come to the end of our reflection time. We'll shortly be moving into our session of discussion to reflect on what we've heard and think about what that might mean for each of us. So please do stay tuned and listen to our discussion. I'm here with a few friends from St Mary's. We are also having some coffee, so you might hear a few slurps. And we're also eating some very dry polenta cake that I've baked. So again, you might hear some crumbs dropping as well. But you're really welcome to join us. We're going to be discussing what we've just heard. But before we begin, it would be really great if we could introduce the other people who are with us. So I'm here with Andrew and Adam and Kate. And they're going to each just say a little bit about who they are so you can get to know their voices. Kate, would you like to start?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name's Kate. I'm a teacher at a local school in Hanwell and mother of a very spirited 9-year-old boy. I have been going to St Mary's since last year.
Thank you, Kate. And Adam?
Oh, I'm Adam. I'm Kate's husband. And I got baptised at St Mary's in June. You may have seen that happen.
Amazing, thank you.
Fab, and I'm the voice you'll probably all recognise. My name's Andrew. I'm the rector of St Mary's Hanwell. I've had the privilege of saying that's my job for the last 6.5 years. So it's great. I'm looking forward to getting into this passage together.
Fantastic. Thank you, everyone. So we've got some questions that we're going to work through. And the first one is just a bit of a warm-up for us. So you might want to think about this yourself. But what we're going to try and do is think of a time when we later found out about something that we wish we'd known earlier. Now, I can think of many instances in my life when this has been the case. I guess one that's been a recurring theme over recent weeks is since I started at St Mary's,
Knowing what's going to happen on the Elizabeth line is a frequent issue that comes up for me. And often, if I'd known the situation before I arrived at the station, I might have made a different choice. So that would be my top of my list right now. So has anyone else got something that they later find out they wish they'd known ahead of time?
I'll kick us off.
Yeah,
as many of you know, I used to work at the Science Museum. And we would do, part of my job was to do science shows. And sometimes they would be for special needs groups. And part of the key to that was to talk to the staff so you could work out how you would include people and you'd do a show that was gloriously inclusive but safe at the same time. And we had an experiment where we would burn flash cotton, like cotton wool soaked in chemicals, on the palm of somebody's hand. And so I had worked out which one of these teenage kids who had quite profound needs, which one of them that was going to be a safe thing to do with. And this kid happens to be in a wheelchair, and I've got it all worked out that they could just come to the front of the stage and it would all be great. And so the show started, and I thought, I've got this sorted. And I asked my first volunteer, whereupon his teachers tried to get this lad out of his wheelchair and make him walk onto what was a bubble mix soaked floor. My entire life flashed before me. And thankfully, I persuaded him it was absolutely fine to stay where he was. But yeah, I felt awful for him because I was like, gosh, wish I'd really done that prep better so that I could have anticipated not potentially getting this poor lad falling over. But thankfully he was all okay.
That's a health and safety nightmare. Goodness. Kate, what about you?
Mine's a bit dull by comparison, Andrew, and you've set the bar high. I think the thing I wish I'd known earlier was how wonderful it was to sleep before you had children. and it's a new kind of sleep. You close your eyes and you worry. That's basically what adult sleep is when you've got kids. So I wish I'd enjoyed all those many, many years where I could have just switched off to the whole world.
I love sleep, I have to say. So I'm with you on that.
It's only just coming back, so yeah, it's taken a good 9 years.
Adam, what about you?
I it pains me to say it, but that my parents were right about most things.
And if
only I'd have understood and recognised that at a time, even down to the fact that they were right that vegetables are actually quite good for you.
This is true, right?
You can tell people how many vegetables you eat on average every week. Are you going to confess to that one?
Go on, tell us.
You are supposed to eat 30, I've been told, but I try to get 60.
Wow.
60? Oh my goodness.
It's become an obsession, but it's working well for you.
Wow. I'm going to loan you my children so you can convince them.
Well, you look great on it, so, that's good. 60 vegetables a week is my aim from now on. That's great. Okay, we're going to move on to the next question. So this is just a starting point, really. Did anything jump out at us from the passage? So is anything in particular, and you might want to be thinking about this yourself as you're listening to us, what was the thing that really spoke to you from the passage that we've heard a couple of times now? So I don't know, Adam, did you have anything that particularly spoke to you?
Yeah, I mean, the line where it says, God working for those who wait for him. And as I said, I got baptized as a late life convert, I waited a long time for that to happen. Again, it's something I wish I'd have known sooner, and I wish I'd have been able to find sooner. But I had to wait a long time for that, and God waited for that to happen as well.
Yeah, and it was in that timing, right?
Yeah.
That's when it was meant to happen, and that's when it all came together. So, brilliant. Thank you. Kate, what about you?
I quite like the bit where it says that, the Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand. I think for me that's quite comforting because I'm a bit of a perfectionist and I like to be the finished article. And actually what I've learned from this is that this is a long, slow process of incremental change, and patience is going to be a key part of this, which doesn't come naturally to me. So
that resonates with me, right? Mm. And is the clay, is it ever going to be finished? Like, it's going to be a constant changing process over time, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's hard to take, the idea that you're going to actually have to wait for perfection.
Agree. Andrew, what about you?
I really like the opening verses, and this is being the prophetic text from Isaiah, kind of to a group of people in exile who are a long way from home, and yet their hunger for God to come and do something. Yeah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so the mountains would quake at your presence. And yeah, I was really struck, I think, afresh by just the desire for God's people that's being expressed through Isaiah there of they just want God to come and act and to kind of show up and show off, if you like, in power. But that deep-seated thing, I guess that's what I want for myself, is that each day I want to be trying to go, I want that same lot of desire for God to be involved in where I am. I mean, he doesn't have to make the mountains quake necessarily, but
maybe sometimes
occasionally it's good, right?
<She'll quake. laughs>
But actually just that those signs of God with us and being present with us, and I kind of and even in the acknowledgement they're like of we don't have it all together and we've not got it all right, and yet we still want you to come and act, God. Really stood out for me.
That desire and hunger. And it's just, sometimes it can be like tiny little signs, little indications that he's there that just reassures us and helps drive us forward. I think for me, it was a similar point to you, Kate. I definitely, that whole piece about the clay and the potter, I was actually thinking about, I went on a sort of pottery evening with some friends last year and I was abysmal at it. I was really terrible.
I can't believe that.
I don't even have the item that I allegedly made because I didn't really know what it was at the end. But it really struck me that some of the clay was really pliable and some of it was really hard. Mm. And it just challenged me to think, how pliable am I? So if God's trying to shape me, if I'm the clay, am I kind of like solid and he's struggling to kind of mold me? Or am I open and kind of a bit softer and, a bit more compliant to what he's perhaps moving me into? So that was the thing that really spoke to me through the passage.
And it's such a powerful and well-known image. And I must confess, Susie and I are big fans of the Great Pottery Throwdown.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't help but thinking of Keith, the big guy who's the judge.
Yeah,
who always cries whenever somebody makes something beautiful. And there was a kind of that, and it sort of reminded me, that's kind of how like God sees us sometimes. He just sees the beauty in what's been created. But my favourite bit in the throwdown, in the show, is that one of the rounds, a bit like on Bake Off, they have an expert come in who's like a leading whatever it is in their field of ceramics. And they just take this lump of clay and in front of the contestants show them something remarkable in a very short space of time. And you can see all these kind of people going, oh my goodness, they're going to make us try and do this. But just that idea that you can take something so ordinary as clay, so kind of dull and flat, and yet these people are just artists who transform it into these beautiful forms and shapes and things you shouldn't think would be possible. And it just got me thinking, that's exactly what God does with us, like in all our like lumpy ordinariness.
Yes.
He kind of could just craft just something beautiful out of any of us by being in our lives. And that's just such a... Yeah, I mean, that image of God as the potter is a beautiful parallel in Genesis where it talks about us as being like bearing the fingerprints of the Creator from where God formed us. And that idea that God can shape us and impact our lives is so, so rich. Yeah. And
it's interesting you say that, actually, because while you were talking, it made me think of, how much would I love a piece of pottery that my child did for me, even if it came back a bit imperfect, a little bit unfinished, a bit rough around the edges. And that kind of resonated with me. It's a process and you wouldn't love it any less if it wasn't perfect, so maybe that's something to take away from it.
That's really
what
true.
You can't see for the benefit of recording is that like we're here in my office and it's full of pieces of art that my children have done, and I'm just reminded, I take such pride in what they've done. And it's that idea that I don't have to be perfect, and yet God takes that same, or even more, pride in me.
Yeah, that's really encouraging. Thank you both. It's great. So just looking at the next question that we've got here. So this passage was written from the perspective of someone who was waiting for God to act. So really crying out and saying, God, where are you? And it would just be really interesting to explore if any of us have ever been in a position where we've been waiting for God. And whether or not in that waiting, we learnt something or we saw something or experienced something in the waiting that really touched us. So Adam, you kind of said something similar to this earlier when we were discussing about your coming up to like your confirmation, etc. Have you been in a position where you've been waiting and you've seen God do anything in that time?
I mean, it's funny because in some respects this sort of, well, it does predate my my baptism and my time at St Mary's, but Kate was talking about our son, and you know, I waited a long time for a son, and you know, there was a sense that you know, I'd wanted it for a very long time, and you know, you recognise that the miracle of life is ultimately God's doing, and I think retrospectively I look back on that, and you know, I count my blessings every day that this is something that I have, which I never thought I was going to have.
Yeah. But I know you have that.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, that treasure is great, right? And all that waiting, and now you have that.
Well, absolutely. And I guess, you know, it makes it all the sweeter because you've had to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally get that. Totally get that. What about you, Kate?
I mean, you should have told me you were going to tell that story. No, I think it... for me, that obviously all of that Adam's just described, but you know, just small things really in terms of waiting and seeing God act, and you know, it's in the day by day things. I think what I thought when I turned to faith was that things were going to happen in a big and miraculous kind of way, and you know, when that didn't happen initially, I thought, you know, is there a reason to doubt any of this? Is it real? You know, am I imagining some of it? And actually, over the time that I've been kind of finding my way, I've found that just those tiny changes in me, in my life, in my situation, they all add up. And I didn't really realise that was God's work for quite a long time. I thought, you know, probably selfishly, I thought it was me. I thought I was changing. But I think it's that I've been changed. And it's only as I'm coming out on the other side of it that I realise that that's what was going on. So I didn't know I was waiting. But now I look back, that's...
Yeah.
What I see.
That's really encouraging as well, isn't it? Because in those moments when we're getting frustrated and impatient, like, where is God? What's he doing? Yeah. You look back at those times and think, actually, he was at work in those moments when I was waiting before, and he's at work now.
Yeah.
Even though in my flesh, I just want it to happen immediately, straight away. Mm. Andrew, what about from your point of view?
Yeah, do you know, it took me back to a time sort of in the middle of the pandemic, really, and we were trying to work out what God was calling us to do as church, particularly what we were doing with our Sundays. And I remember I spent a good couple of nights, and we had all these like small groups with PCC, and we discussed, and leadership team, and we discussed and it just felt like we just couldn't work out what we were supposed to do next and what God was saying. And then I felt God really sort of spoke to me through a reflection that's just up on the wall over there, actually, and it was all about faithfully doing the things we were doing now, and that my waiting was to keep being faithful in what we're doing. And I didn't know that was going to then be, gosh, I guess it was probably another maybe 9-10 months before we'd kind of spent that time waiting before God really kind of spoke in a clearer way, or perhaps, you know, maybe just our perspective had enough time to hear. But actually, yeah, that real value of being able to wait on God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that that's something that we all need to learn. The idea that God is with us, irrespective of the circumstances that we're in at that moment, that he will come through and he will respond to our prayers and requests. I think for me, one of the moments that was really important in terms of the waiting was in the previous church that I was part of. We didn't have a vicar for quite a long time, and I was part of the team there. We were trying to recruit, and we'd actually advertised 3 times before we found the person who God was calling to be our vicar. And in that time, it was really difficult because we were trying to manage as a church without that leader. And that went on for a long period. And actually, we learnt a lot between all of us as a community of what we were able to do, irrespective of the fact that we didn't have that key person there, and we wouldn't have learnt those things. People wouldn't have been able to step into the roles they did had we not had that period of time. And God was actually preparing us for a new season, preparing us for a new leader, and enabling us to be equipped for what he was calling us to in the future. So that was definitely my answer in that instance. I certainly think that's not the last time that I will be waiting for God to answer me. I have no doubt. So we've covered this a bit already, but there's a really key message here about us being the clay and God being the potter. So it would be great just to think about how we find God shaping us as we live our lives. And maybe even in this Advent season, as we wait for Christmas, what might God be doing that's helping to shape us in our lives at this time? So Kate, can I start with you?
Tricky. Adam, can we start with you? Come back to me.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Adam, do you have any thoughts on like how God might be shaping us right now?
Well, I mean, I guess what I find really helpful is daily reflection, daily prayer, daily Bible reading. And it's very much part of my routine. And I find that, you know, that is probably the key way that I'm being shaped. And you know, that's something that I've maintained religiously, as one should, over quite a long period of time now. And I can see, you know, how the richness of that experience really does transform you over time. That it's something which, you know, you read a Bible passage and then you come back to it and then you hear it again, and the different layers and the different ways that God's speaking to you through that. You know, it's something which, you know, always provides more insight and more of a sense of who he is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Adam, you've just reflected this with your 60 vegetables a week, but that routine and discipline of how you approach that and making sure you do it every day, and that's forming you each and every kind of morning. You're taking that time and really spending it with God, and that accumulates over time. And that's gradually making that difference that I think you're describing, that you're seeing that change gradually and incrementally.
Absolutely. Which is good.
And I think especially when you don't want to.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, I think one of the objections sometimes, or the things people find difficult about praying, is we kind of go, oh, well, I'm not really in the mood. I don't think, I don't know what to say, or I'm not in the zone. And certainly the longer I've been having a daily prayer time, the more I've come to rely on using things like liturgy and set Bible readings, because they kind of, A, they help you with that discipline. And I remember Nadia Boltz-Weber, who's an American Lutheran pastor, she said, the great thing about liturgy is it has an integrity even when we don't. And that idea of, because most liturgy is just scripture recycled for us. And that idea that those prayers that somebody else has crafted and we're using those words, it takes all the pressure off it being about us and what we bring to it, and puts all the onus back on God shaping and Jesus shaping us by like using these words and letting it seep and soak into us. So I'm with Adam. I think that, you know, if you want to get shaped, it's that daily discipline of it, especially when you don't feel like it, but also knowing that it's not about what we bring to the table necessarily. It's all about what, you know, we just have to show up and God comes running like the prodigal son, right? And I think that's for me, finding a resource and sticking with it. And I know often people will choose to do things in Lent, do something like that in Advent.
Yeah.
There's loads of great apps and resources and liturgies you can pick up and just do something that's manageable each day. And it helps you build that rhythm into your life.
And I think, people say 3 weeks is the length of time it takes to build a habit. And I think if you do something during Advent, the chances are you'll continue that into the new year because you'll see and feel the benefit from it. So I'd really recommend doing that. So you might have heard a little bit of disruption in the past few minutes, but we had a visitor in the room that we're in. There's some new kittens in the home that we're in. So if you heard any meowing in the background, that's why. So just so you know what's going on where we are.
They wanted to contribute.
Yeah, they wanted to join in.
I think they were trying to eat the cake.
So giving Kate a couple more minutes to think, I guess from my perspective, this time of year throws everything into really sharp relief, because on the one hand, we've got the Christmas story and the understanding that Jesus came to earth and that, you know, that's a gift from God. And then on the other hand, we see lots of consumerism and materialism around us. And it's a really helpful moment for us to make decisions about what we do and don't want to be involved in and how we want to use our time and how we spend our money. So I think that, I think, is how God is shaping me at this time, is just each day thinking, being quite intentional about what I'm doing and the decisions that I'm making would be my response to this, I think. Kate, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys, people have great points, so well done, team. But I just think for me, it's probably more around being a bit more outward facing at this time of year and, you know, being a bit more in community with others, because, you know, we do a lot of family stuff around Christmas, but it's always very kind of close family and people we're really comfortable with. And, you know, it might be good to do a little bit more kind of socializing. It doesn't come naturally to us, does it, dear? But we do our best, so that, you know, you can share that love of God with others and you can sort of share the season with others. And I think, you know, the fact that I'm even considering that is definitely a change. So yeah, maybe a few more Christmas parties.
Yeah. You're always very sociable, both of you, so
I'm glad I gave you that impression.
Great. So this is our final question. It's one of the most difficult ones, I think. And it's just trying to think through, from everything that we've heard and all that we've discussed, what's our main takeaway? So what's the one thing that we have heard that's really struck us and we will carry with us going into the next week or so? So I don't know if anyone's got any immediate thoughts about what they might be thinking about or taking with them.
Yeah, for me, it's all a process, I think. And, you know, just knowing that it's an ongoing work and the craft is ongoing, that's probably the main thing I would take away. Just, you know, there's plenty of time to develop and change and grow, and it doesn't have to be immediate and it doesn't have to be revolutionary, but those small changes, they all add up. So yeah, for me, that's the big takeaway.
Brilliant. That's really, really helpful. And I think a lot of people will be feeling in the same position as you. So thank you, Kate. Adam?
Well, I was just going to go back to this line in Isaiah where it says, there is no one who calls on your name. And, you know, I think about the Christmas season. I think about the world we live in now, as you were saying, with the consumerism and it being a secular Christmas for a lot of people. And the debates that we have every year about the John Lewis advert and the M&S advert and whether they truly represent Christmas. And there is a Christmas story. And it's the one that actually calls on the name. And it's just strange that gets sidelined sometimes, and that's not the main focus.
Agree. And there's a frustration there, isn't there? Because we hear so much about Christmas, but often it's not actually connected to the whole point of Christmas.
The Christ in Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's definitely something that I think, bearing that in mind over the next few weeks, will be really important for all of us. Okay, Andrew?
I think I'm just going to go back to the potter, and I think the thing I'll take away is that we are not only in the hands of the potter, but we are in the hands of a master craftsperson, and our job is to allow God to do that shaping and moulding. So I think that's the thing to remember. God can do incredible, beautiful things with any of us, and our job is to put ourselves in his way and invite him in.
Amen. I think for me, whenever I first started to read this passage, and it's really stuck with me the whole time, it's just the privilege that we have of living now and knowing that we are saved, and that grace is for us and it's for everyone, and that now is a really good time to be sharing that with other people, and that joy that we've got. So that's definitely the thing that I'll be taking away. Well, thank you so much to Kate and Adam and Andrew for joining me. It's been a really good discussion here, and I hope that what we've said has prompted you just to think a little bit more about the passage we've looked at this time. We've got two more episodes to go over the next couple of weeks, so I hope you will join us for those as well. Andrew's going to close in prayer, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for these great words from Isaiah, the way you encourage us that just like your people of old, we can wait through this season on your presence, and that there's a forgiveness and grace in the person of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for all of us as we look to allow you to shape us, whether that's through the daily disciplines, whether that is through prayer or worship or service, being out there a little bit more. Lord, we pray, help us to be clay that is soft in your hands, that can be continually reshaped into the image of Jesus. And we ask this in your mighty name. Amen.